I want to draw our attention to Isaiah chapter 40. One of the things I've been trying to do this Christmas season is look at a number of passages that are well known in the context, especially of Christmas, but across the scriptures, and try to understand what God's saying in them, because we often hear them perhaps in Christmas pieces, but we don't really know what's going on in the context, what's being said by God. And this one particularly, Isaiah 40, we're going to look at the first 17 verses briefly here, has a number of passages that are well known in it. They're strung together. How they're strung together is very interesting. And then also what God is saying about the coming of Jesus is so powerful and so interesting. So let us read together from Isaiah chapter 40. We'll be looking at the first 17 verses. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, or who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and worthless. Thus far the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this evening. As we look at this passage, God brings comfort. But why do we need comfort? Well, we live in a broken world. We don't have to look very far to see that, do we? But in the context of this passage, it's not about that broken world. It's about the fact that God is coming. It is about the fact that Jesus was going to come into this world. And as you look at this passage, you see the juxtaposition of the coming of God and the comfort of the coming of the Savior with the power of what it meant that Jesus is true God. That he has measured heavens with a span. By the way, that's fingertip to thumb tip. That's a span. That he's measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. This is the powerful God who took upon himself to be human being, to be in this world as a baby, born and laid in a manger, to go through all that it is to be born. That he came into this world to give his life to save sinners. And so as we look at this passage, We need to understand what it means that we have comfort in Jesus Christ. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended. As we live in this world, we fight a warfare. We live in the middle of warfare. And the fear and the danger of what is most dangerous for us is hell. And we all deserve that. And our only hope is in the coming of Jesus Christ, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The judgment has been paid in full. And we hear about the way in which God laid out and prepared the world, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Of course, we know that that was fulfilled in John the Baptizer. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Not only was the world prepared for the coming of Christ, but it was prepared as well for the gospel to go out to the ends of the earth. If we think about the Roman roads, there are still some used today that were built before the time of Christ. And God sent out His gospel, His glory, revealed that so that all flesh should see it together. This is what God has commanded. This is what the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We see that the Word of God is powerful, it is creative. That which God speaks happens. We're so used to people saying, well, those are just words. No big deal. People talk. God speaks, and it is. God created this world by the word of His power. And the voice said, cry out. Verse 6. And He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is as grass, and all its loveliness as the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. We have this twice in this passage, this idea of how insignificant we are. And we have to understand that. We're all going to die. Doesn't matter whether we're very young and it seems a long time to go. We all have to face the fact that we're going to die. The psalmist David says, teach me to number my days that I may gain a heart of wisdom. Understanding that fact is one of the most important things we can do as human beings so that we can prepare. The grass withers, the flower fades. Because the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are as grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. We're back to that word of God. The promise of God that there was going to be salvation come. That stands. And of course, Jesus is John chapter 1. The word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, what? Behold your God. Again, we are reminded, what goes on? What are we celebrating at Christmas? The coming of God. The coming of Christ. The Messiah, the God-man in the flesh. Dwelling among us, He became, as we said from Hebrews, like unto His brethren in all things except for sin. He did not become like angels. There is no salvation for the fallen angels. But there are for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, verse 10, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand. With His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. We are told that Jesus has what He is going to do when He comes into this earth. Of course, we remember that Jesus said that when He talked to His parents after teaching the chief priests. He said, did you not know that I needed to be about my Father's business? Jesus was not somehow surprised by what He was here to do. From His very bar mitzvah, He was about the dealings of saving and of preaching and of teaching. The Lord comes into this world with a job to do, but also in compassion. Verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. God cares for us perfectly. Another place, we're told that a bruised reed he will not break and smoking flax he will not quench. The weakest faith, God says, he will not quench and break. And we're told of this awesome God who comes into this world. We see the comfort that comes, but we also need to understand the power of the Savior, that he is not just a little baby, but that this is the God-man. This is God laying in a manger, the second person of the Trinity. And we said, he has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand. He's measured heaven with a span, calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains and the hills. But beyond that, verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of God, or as his counselor has taught him, Jesus has. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, we understand. So Jesus directs the Spirit, but we certainly don't. With whom did he take counsel, or who instructed him, or who taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Jesus, as God, doesn't need us to do that. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the power of God come into this world. And so, you might think and understand why. What's the first thing that when God appears throughout the Old Testament, he has to tell people? Don't be afraid. Well, we're reminded, we do not need to be afraid of Jesus. Jesus came into this world to save sinners, to live and to die. He lived perfectly because we can't. And he died so that he would pay for our sins, for our failures. And yet again, we are reminded here in these last verses, 15 through 17, the nations are as a drop in the bucket. They are counted as the small dust on the scales. We have to realize and consider ourselves. We are not worthy that God would do these things to save us. It is because, of course, John 3:16, because God loved. Not because we're worthy, but because God loved sinners. And we can, it always amazes me even to say these very words, that I can consider myself to be one of those people that God loves. I'm not worthy. None of us are. But God loved sinners, and those who believe on him have perfect promise of salvation. We can't offer enough, verse 16. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. Why, then, did Jesus come into this world? Jesus came into this world because God chose to save sinners. And we can have that comfort that we see. Comfort, comfort ye my people. That this Savior comes and cares for us like his flock, as our shepherd. And yet, this Savior has the power necessary, the wisdom necessary, the direction necessary to save sinners. We have to see that. We have to understand that this is one package. It's not just a baby in a manger. Certainly it is. And it's a baby who is far more than just any baby. He is God, become man, to save those who believe on him, to save sinners. And as I said, I stand in awe to consider us a part of that number, because none of us is worthy. And yet, if we focus on ourselves, we will be reminded that we're not worthy. But when we focus on the Savior, we will be reminded of how awesome the Savior is. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and then after this, we will sing together Silent Night, which the words are on the back of the bulletin. So let us bow before Almighty God in prayer. Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world, that you walked on this world, that you made yourself under the law of your parents on this earth, of Mary and of her husband Joseph, that you were under the law of the Sanhedrin, that you humiliated yourself to the point of death. We thank you, second person of the Trinity, Son of God, that as we see your power and your wisdom here laid out before us, your immensity, we are also reminded of your care, of your love for sinners, that you care for your people like a shepherd, that you gently lead those who are with young. We pray, Lord, for the young people of this congregation, that you would build them up in the truth of your word, and that you would bring the truths that they have learned in these verses this evening deep within their hearts, that they might believe on the Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we celebrate Christ's birth, as we rejoice in the coming of Almighty God to be one of us. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless that time, that you would bless our celebration, first of all, above all, to your glory and to our building up in your truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.